I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad kid. I'm alone. I'm loving you.
Doctor Shark, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Doctor Shark, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
I know more about sharks right now. Okay, let me get through this. Doctor is this hour's code word. Doctor. Text the word doctor to 72881 by the end of this hour and you could win a chance. It's your chance at $1,000 on our national contest. Message and data rates apply. All you have to do is text the word doctor to 72881. You could win $1,000. All right. Oh, wow. So, I don't know where Eddie Eft is, but we're waiting on him.
You know what? He's parking. Okay. So he should be here.
Well,
shortly.
Great. That gives us time to clear up this whole shark thing.
Okay. So, what's going on? We had a lot of conflicting messages.
Okay. First of all, I think I can state with some certainty that a shark is a fish. A shark is not a mammal. It's a fish. So for those of you who called us idiots saying that sharks
are
mammals.
Text. One of the texts. Okay. Oh, my God, people. Sharks are not fishes. Bunch of dumbasses.
Yikes.
Yeah. Sharks are fish.
Thank you.
Which is the plural of fish.
Right.
Sharks are fish. Because we learned all about them, I guess the male shark does have some kind of prong style projectile on his rear fins, and they do enter the cloaca of the female shark. They fertilize the eggs inside the female shark,
mm-hmm.
So the shark incubates the eggs inside her. So it does appear to be a live birth.
Fertilizes
them and they incubate in there. And then is it viviparous?
Mm-hmm.
That's what that kind of birth is.
And that's actually kind of the way humans do it. Mammals do as well. It's basically the
egg comes to fruition inside the
giving birth to living young that have been nourished in close contact with their mother's bodies.
All right. So then, however, then they squirt out the baby sharks.
The baby shark.
And they
baby
scatter.
Baby shark. And then they scatter.
They do not.
They don't mother
they
the
don't,
baby shark.
Right. There's no more contact
so
with them.
Mama shark doesn't take care of the
leaves.
Baby shark.
So, but we can state with certainty, they are not mammals.
They're not
so
mammals.
Thank you for calling us dumbasses and not knowing how to pluralize fish. You dumbass. Were there any other ones? Mommy sharks are not fish. They're mammals, have live births. They do have live births. You are correct about that, but they are not mammals. Mammals nurse their young. I think that's the differentiation.
I love learning stuff here. It's so great.
I know. Well, it's more than I ever wanted to know about sharks, and yet here we are.
Well, all I really wanted to point out is I keep seeing this picture of this gigantic shark next to a human, and they're swimming together. And it is horrifying.
Yeah, it is.
It's beautiful.
I'm with you.
And horrifying.
I can't believe those people are doing that.
Right.
Yeah. And yet there they are. But they must know something we don't because they say she's not dangerous anymore. Okay. I don't believe
it. You say. All right.
You know where she's not dangerous? On land, which is where I'll be when Big Blue or
well,
Deep Blue
and, you know, there are people writing in who are saying, we kill 70 million sharks a year. What is the number they wrote? They wrote some number. And they kill 10 humans. Who's worse?
Yeah, well, right, look, we're worse. There's no question about it. Look, we kill all the other fish, and they don't get any of us. You know, when's the last time you heard of someone dying in a salmon attack?
Right.
All right. Anyway, so I guess I'll do some trash while we wait for him to get here. You know what I'll do? I'm going to read you some headlines, and you stop me when you figure out what you want. Movies that are... Oh, my God. I'm actually going to do this one.
Do it.
Okay.
Glass
I'm ready.
Is in theaters this weekend.
Yeah.
The one. Do you remember the movie Unbreakable, the M. Night Shyamalan
yes.
movie?
Yes.
And then Split was the one with James McAvoy. Is that who starred in it? Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, maybe? This is the sequel to both of those. They come together. So they're saying Unbreakable was the year 2000. That was Bruce Willis and Sam Jackson. And then Split was the horror movie from 2 years ago. Is this why you didn't see it? Because it's a horror movie, Hooman?
Eddie's here.
Oh, great. Thank God. Eddie, thank God you're
What's
here.
What's up, Eddie?
What's up, buddy?
She gets the first.
He's going for a hug.
Thank you. Good to see you.
You're just in time. We were going to talk about... What were we going to talk about?
Glass.
Oh, good. I'm getting...
Oh, my God. You got humped. Oh.
Wonderful.
Hugs all around.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, Eddie. It's great to see you.
I'm glad to be here.
You look amazing.
Thank you.
Those teeth.
Thank you. She loves the teeth.
I do.
I wish you had paid for them.
I know. Well... I can't afford it. Apparently, they were very expensive.
How much did it cost to fix your teeth?
I think, like, the guy, when he looked in my mouth, he goes, "You have a Ferrari in your mouth."
Oh,
and I go,
no.
"I go, what do you mean by that?" He goes, "When I'm done with you, you could have bought a Ferrari."
Like a used Ferrari?
Yeah, or? Really used, yeah. Crappy Ferrari.
Is that right?
One that doesn't have wheels or an engine or windows.
What in the heck was wrong?
Sarah just kept complaining, and they kept getting worse.
So what do you got, caps?
Yeah, I got the...
They look great.
Veneers?
I got a grill.
Is it a veneer?
It's a grill.
Can you pop it off?
No. They're all
firmly,
like...
firmly affixed.
I went to one of those big Hollywood dentists that was like... I sat in his chair for a while. And
he was the Ferrari guy?
Yeah, he was good, though. He was recommended to me by some, like, big celebrity. And
Christina Applegate?
No, it was Mariel Hemingway.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah, she's like your neighbor.
Eddie knows,
or right?
Eddie knows all the stars. We'll be hearing some name dropping.
Yeah, I can name drop. I can tell you who I saw, who I.
How's your relationship with Christina Aguilera? Be honest about
it. Ask my wife.
Is your wife here?
Is it true that you're always at her house?
And Izzy's here too.
Is it true that you're always at Christina Aguilera's house?
No, I have never been to Christina Aguilera's.
Yeah, right.
I have never been.
How's your wife been?
I just saw Will Smith's house.
Oh, did you? What? From like the street?
He lives right, like. Probably like less than a half mile away from me, and I was mountain biking, and I came up over this hill because, you know, you can only see his gate. And I went up over this hill, and I was like, oh, my God. Like,
the place is just paradise.
It looked like a college campus.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's the biggest thing I've ever. But it's so weird. You can't see it from anywhere. And all of a sudden, I just came up over this hill, and I was like, what is that? Like, is that...
is that Pepperdine?
Yeah, I would rather go to Will Smith University than Pepperdine.
Yeah.
Isn't that all those hills, speaking of, you lived in the Malibu Hills where the fires happened.
Yeah.
But all those hills are lined with little tucked away mansions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I told you this story about how I went to Matt Sorum's house one time, and he has...
They're compounds.
He's a drummer for Guns N' Roses. He has this little tucked, but his own view. Like, there's nothing in the way of his view to the ocean, and it's spectacular.
Yeah.
And it's all over the Malibu, although a lot of the people who live there have since lost those mansions.
600 homes, I think, burned. But that's, like, nothing compared to what happened up in...
Paradise.
Oh, my God. That whole town is just gone.
That was terrifying.
But it got really close to your house. I mean, we talked to you, and you'd been evacuated, and you didn't know what was happening.
There's an intersection where, like, we are in the one quadrant of the intersection. All three other quadrants burned. And I was like, how did we... I felt like I was living in the Truman Show. Like, it was all just, like, happening, and it was, like, being orchestrated. Because I was like, why isn't it burning into my neighborhood? The firemen were amazing, though. I've never seen anything like it, what they can do with the helicopters and the planes. I had, like, a front row seat because I sat up on the mountain and watched them, like, protect my neighborhood. And it was amazing. They're incredible. They are my heroes. But now the flooding's going on.
Right. And then last year, after the big fires...
The mudslides.
The mudslides were... almost more damage than the fires had done.
I think more people die from mudslides. And we were going up our canyon road the other day, and I told my wife, I go, don't drive this road now that the fires have happened because it'll slide. And she's like, okay. And we're coming back from Izzy's school. And she goes, why are you going this way? And I'm like, oh, I forgot. I forgot. And we're going up the canyon, and I said, there's only one really bad spot where I saw it burn by the tunnel. And I said, that's the only bad spot. Literally, as we're pulling up there, the rock slide happens right in front of me.
No.
Goes over, and I just drive right over all the rocks. And my wife goes, did you just pop all our tires?
Did you?
No, none
of them. Okay, good.
But I couldn't stay. I had to go because it was still sliding.
Right.
And
Eddie.
And then that night, they closed it down. So now I don't know. We just got in the car. And we're like, let's go to Sunnyvale. So I brought the whole family.
Is Izzy with you right now?
Yeah, she's out
she's
there.
A handful.
Just peeked
she's
in
a
right
handful.
Now.
Adorable.
Oh, I didn't get to see
Hooman
her.
And kids.
I only ever see her on Instagram.
Me too, though. I know her because...
Well, your kids are just about the same age.
Yeah, yeah.
So the plan is for you guys to get together this weekend. Is the surf just too high?
It's pretty big. I'm a little... I'm not
I don't think it's
going to
happen
little,
today, but maybe tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, I can't today anyways, but I'm a little scared. It's big.
It's
yeah,
going
to
drop.
25 to 40 today.
It'll drop.
Yeah. I'm not going to be in
we'll
25
be okay
to
tomorrow.
40. I will. I don't know if I told you the little adventure they're getting me into.
What adventure?
They?
You, so, your wife and daughter?
So I did the Surfer Pole Awards. I don't know if I've told you that.
You hosted Surfer Pole Awards in Hawaii, right?
I just did comedy in
Bro,
front
how
of
do
it
I not know about the Surfer Pole Awards?
Yeah, they're like...
What's going on with that?
For us, it's like the Academy Awards. I'd rather watch that than I would the Academy Awards.
Nobody likes you. Whoopa. Whoopa. I picked up a Whoopa Award.
So I got a buddy who's a top surfer, and he was making fun of me for bombing.
Oh, you bombed?
You bombed?
No. He comes to a lot of my shows when I'm in San Diego, and he's a Hawaii guy, and he said something about me being afraid of big waves, and I said, well, you know, man's greatest fear is not surfing big waves. It's speaking in front of people.
Publicly.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, so... I'll surf a big wave if you do 5 minutes of comedy. And so the editor of Surfer was like, I think we got a deal here, and I think we should do an article about this. So he's going to do 5 minutes, and they're going to take me out.
Oh, my God, but you might die. He won't die. He won't die.
That's what I said to my buddy. I said...
He might wet his pants, but he's going to live.
Eddie thinks he like just pulled one over on this guy. Meanwhile, that guy's not going to die.
So his name's Albie Layer. And I don't know if Albie's... I heard just the other day that he committed to doing the 5 minutes. But I had said to him, I go, look, I could physically die. And he goes, I might die too. I go, not doing stand-up. You won't die. You'll bomb, but you won't die. He goes, no, but I'll kill myself if I bomb that bad.
Oh, my God. Oh, get out of here.
Is someone writing the jokes for him, too? That's actually not fair. He should have to write his own jokes, too.
He keeps sending me his jokes, and they're terrible.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, but that's
it. Great.
He'll go out there and bomb, but so you go out on a big wave, you've got to drop in. It's not just be in the water, right?
So they're going to tow me in.
Oh, that's good.
Which is a lot easier.
Yeah.
And
that means it's even bigger.
I know. Stop, Vinny.
That means it's even bigger.
And I get to wear the inflatable vest.
Inflatable vest.
Yeah, all the safety things. Also, you should be attached via a cord to a helicopter that can yank you right out.
That's what I want.
One of the gripes I've heard about here locally at Mavericks.
I'm not surfing Mavericks. I refuse.
Is that there are guys that are because they're on their bucket list. They want to take off on a big wave. They just put these vests on
and think they're okay.
Well, they drop in to go straight and then pull their vest and there's their bucket list moment, but everybody else is like, you're gonna kill somebody.
Yeah.
You're not even trying.
They just go straight.
It's like a parachute thing. They just go, all right, I'm gonna be okay, and they wait it out. And
I don't like 10-foot waves. Yeah. Like I don't like when I get held down on a 10-foot wave.
That's for real.
I can't imagine. So
way to let your mouth get you in trouble.
Yeah, that's good job. How big did you guys decide on?
They said Toto Santos, probably.
Totos.
Because here's the other thing, too. Like, okay, him speaking in front of a crowd, it's not like he's going on at the Apollo or something.
I'm going to make it so horrible for him. I want to do the surfing first so that then I can calibrate how hard I want to make it for him. Mm. Like, he might end up at the Apollo.
Or he backs out.
No, he can't. There's no way at that point. No, I actually keep thinking I'm going to like make it as like I'm going to help him. I want him to do well.
Right.
And so he's a really funny guy too. So I'm going to try to make it work out well for him so that.
But hard as well.
Well, no. So that they take care of me.
Because if he really does.
Oh,
bomb,
right.
Yeah. I got a friend who's does the rescue on the big wave tour.
Oh.
And good buddy of mine.
We do too.
Jet ski kind of thing.
Yeah, jet ski. Dustin Fierro. So I have already said I want him. I want my own personal
rescuer.
Like, and it's fun. My wife is a horrible person. I don't know if you guys know this.
Yeah, no, I've known that about Lauren for a long time.
No,
just
not.
Look at her.
She is
horrible.
When I told her about this, I was expecting her going, you're not doing this. You're a father. She's
and,
like,
and, she, and then you would be able to say, I'm sorry, but my wife won't let me do it.
She was like, do it. And one time in Australia, my agent said to me, hey, there's this new show, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and some comedians have done it, and it's really good for their profile. I'm going to send you a video of the show, and you know, you say yes or no. So I turn it on, and the first thing is they're like pushing the contestants out of a helicopter to jump into a lake filled with crocodiles. And I just go, no, 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 absolutely not. My wife called my agent and said, he's in.
What?
She's like, it's good. You're going to make a lot of money. You know, it's going to.
Did you do it?
No! Look, she thinks it's funny.
Well, it is kind of funny.
She wants you dead.
She was very adamant about me getting a life insurance policy.
Hey, can I ask you something? You were talking about all this mountain biking and stuff that you do, and you're running into these big things. There is this piece of property in the Malibu Hills. It's called the Mountain. You know about this?
No.
Oh,
is this the billion-dollar one?
It's the billion-dollar thing.
My mom called me about that.
Oh, to buy it?
What about it?
Yeah.
So they're trying to sell it. I guess they have been for a while. It's enormous, Vinny. Here's a picture of it. It's, I think it's 157 acres, and it is at the top of the hill in Malibu. Yeah, here it is.
And it didn't catch on fire.
It didn't. And I guess, actually, it's like Malibu into Beverly Hills, sort of over. Does that make
weird.
Sense?
That's more like Palisades.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's
so there's
where
no
it looks like.
Home there.
Oh, no. They're trying to sell this.
An empty lot for someone to build on.
There's two homes right now for sale in Malibu, or were before neither burned, I don't believe. But they are each for sale for $80 million. One is Johnny Carson's old house.
Oh.
And the other is this house that I don't know why. You look at it and you're like, why is that $80 million?
Is it land value?
No, I don't understand why it's $80 million, but I'll take it if they want me to live there.
Let me ask you this. Did you consider moving at any point? You have a wonderful little house in Malibu.
Right.
And the fires just went through there.
It had to scare the hell out of you.
And must have made you question, should we even be living here? And yet, would you stay or go?
No, not even for a second did I question. I was like, this is great because all the fuel burned. We've got like 10 years of no burning now. So,
well, not at your house it didn't.
Yeah, but we're in this weird little crater. It's called a crater. And it never burns because, I mean, it could. But it, thanks, guys. Everybody. it hasn't had a history of burning because of the way the cold air. Like, it's Southern California, and I've woken up in the morning and there's ice on the road.
Oh.
So it gets really cool. It's full of oak trees, and oak trees don't burn as much. I mean, it would take a really hot fire to come through there. But the fires I saw going through Malibu Creek State Park were hot fires.
Yeah, they would have burned it.
The way they went through, like the valley, it was crazy. It was so crazy how I had a front row.
So you're staying?
Oh, not even for a second when I leave. She won't leave. She's crazy. She would never leave. I've tried to move for, you know, every once in a while I'm like, let's move to Colorado. Let's go. And she's like, nope. Like, I have no say in anything anymore.
Oh,
she tricked me.
Well, you're married.
She scammed me.
How do you figure that's a trick or a scam?
When we got married, she was like, oh, you know, we're going to be hippies and we'll go around and we'll live in Australia and we'll do this and we'll do whatever you want. And, you know, and then the next thing you know, I was at Home Depot getting like,
stuff to
gussets for the faucet. Yeah, yeah. They
gussets.
Vinny knows that it's a scam.
Well, it's definitely a slippery slope where you find yourself. There is
in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife.
How did I get here? Right.
And then you're in Home Depot just screaming help.
All right, Eddie Ift is playing tonight, tomorrow.
Sold out last night.
Oh, good for you. Of course you did.
Yes.
You did a show already.
I already did one show. I got two tonight, two tomorrow. One Sunday, and I'm at Rooster Teeth Feathers, which is, it's like a one of like, it's a legendary, legendary comedy club. Like, every great comedian has ever played there, and it's in such a, like, Sunnyvale, you would think, what's Sunnyvale? But now, because Sunnyvale's like the tech capital of the world, it's just, I don't think they came to see me. I think it's just packed every night. It's like the hardest ticket to get.
It's one place to stand. We'll go there.
Right.
Check out Eddie Ift. He is always great. You're hanging for the second half of the
hour,
correct?
I love you guys.
All right, Eddie Ift, everybody. We'll be right back after.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Eddie Ift is here in the studio with us. He's performing at Rooster Teeth Feathers tonight, tomorrow, and there's a show on Sunday. I did want to mention that Sketchfest is on. SF Sketchfest is like a 2.5-week comedy extravaganza, over 250 shows and all types of comedy. And this weekend, Audible presents the SF Sketchfest weekend here on Alice. So all this weekend, noon to 5, you have a chance to win tickets to an SF Sketchfest event like a tribute to Neil Patrick Harris or immersive comedy at the Speakeasy with Michael Ian Black and many more shows. Go to sfsketchfest.com. You can see the full lineup.
Marcus was telling us about the Speakeasy here in San Francisco, and it sounds amazing. We have to go there. Sounds so good. Like people dress in the 20s.
I have heard about that. Right, that you got to get dressed up in this whole thing. Right.
He said it is a little expensive, but...
You know who you're talking to? She won't get dressed up.
That's true, I won't.
Oh, sorry. Will Hooman get dressed up?
I've been to the Speakeasy.
You like it?
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Sounds fun.
Do you have to go rent a costume somewhere for that? That sounds like a lot of work.
I rented a costume for it.
Of course you did.
So anyway, stay here all weekend. It's SF Sketchfest weekend here on Alice, brought to you by Audible.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by our good friend Eddie Ift, who is playing Rooster Teeth Feathers in Sunnyvale. Two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow night, and one show on Sunday.
Yes.
Did I get that wrong?
No, that's
why'd
exactly
you just make
right.
that face?
Because I just had somebody cancel on me for something. Damn.
Oh,
who canceled on you? What happened?
I have to go record a podcast and... after this out in Marin, and I forgot all my recording equipment. I left it at the hotel in Sunnyvale. So
this morning when you left to come up here, you left all the stuff.
Yeah.
Wait, so. Where are you? Who and what?
I was going to interview my buddy Kelly Storet, who owns CrossFit San Francisco, who I sent Hooman to, and he said it didn't go well because Hooman's on that kombucha diet.
So what, he had the runs? I don't know.
Hooman would just go to the gym and want massages.
That is Hooman's idea of going to the gym. Just massage the fat off of me.
So now I called Charlene, who used to work at
Char.
And I was like, Char, meet me so that you can record this thing. And I don't have Charlene. So I'm going to have to drive back to Sunnyvale, it looks like.
Burn.
Get my equipment and then drive back there.
Are you staying at a nice hotel?
Yeah.
Why don't you just have me at the hotel?
Sometimes you can have, if they have a shuttle service, you can ask them to go in your room and get your stuff.
Ooh,
and
that's
they
a
bring
good
a lot
idea.
Of people to San Francisco.
Oh,
they have buses that do that.
This is why you are who you are.
She's a producer extraordinaire.
You are a genius.
Mm-hmm, I've done it before.
I'm going to try that.
Nice.
One.
I left my bag, my work bag, in Monterey. This was a few years back. Got home, called the hotel. They said, we have a shuttle service that is going to SFO. And we'll get your bag.
There.
Well,
right.
You have to pay $30 like a passenger would.
Right.
And I waited there at SFO. Ding, here's your bag. Thank you so much.
Oh, nice.
I know.
That works out great.
I left a suitcase in a locker in Dallas Airport once. I didn't want to lug it around. So I was like, I'll put this in a locker because I had like a 3-hour layover.
Mm-hmm.
And then I flew to Denver and I landed and I was like, I went to baggage claim and I was like, oh, yeah.
So this is your thing.
Yeah. So I called baggage claim and I was like, hey, Delta Handling. And I was like, hey, my suitcase is not here. And they're like, where is it? I'm like, it's in Dallas. And the guy's like, yeah. He was like, where is it? I go, it's in a locker. He goes, we don't handle that. And this guy, I'm not joking. After I talked to him for a while, I gave him the combination. he went up, found it in the locker, got it out of the locker and put it back on, and then had it driven to my hotel.
Wow.
And I was awesome. Like,
sometimes people can be so
what airline?
Great.
Give them a plug.
Delta.
Nice.
Delta. This is like 15 years ago or something. But
Delta.
Shame.
I was like, dude, you
it
are the
so
greatest
fishy
person in the
too.
World.
Like,
I know. I left a package in a locker, and I need you to send it.
So you are doing show Sunday then, too?
Yes, I
okay,
am.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
So Rooster Tea Feathers in Sunnyvale, everyone. I'm, Eddie If.
Yeah, my new hour called Walking on Eggshells. It's fun doing comedy now.
Eddie, our friend George says Uber will do that too.
Oh, that's what I'm doing.
Just have the hotel get his stuff and hand it off to Uber.
You know, before I get to the news, and I do have a bunch of stuff to update us all on as we head into the weekend, but so Louis C.K. is in town. He's doing shows.
Yeah.
They're sold out, so there's no competition in terms of, you know, there's no more tickets for him.
Right.
But so, as you say, walking on eggshells.
Yeah.
What is your...
I was hoping you wouldn't bring this up.
Why?
Do you have thoughts that you want to...
Yeah. My thoughts are, I've known Louis forever, and I've known Louis is a really nice guy and a really funny comedian. And I honestly, like... This
so he
all...
never asked you to be in the room with him?
No,
when
but this
himself.
Is all based on an article that was written... by one person that you know went and talked to a bunch of people. I don't know. I wasn't there. I wasn't in the room. There's never been a court case. There's never been. This is all based on a lot of like hearsay, and I don't.
Well,
ever...
he has said it's all true. Yeah. And Sarah Silverman was like, "Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Did it a bunch of times. I didn't care."
Yeah, I wasn't saying, you know, and necessarily about how you feel about Louis, but just in general, comedy has become a very difficult.
Right.
Field in.
But it always has been. I mean, since I started, it was always you couldn't do religious jokes or you couldn't do this, you couldn't do that. And the whole idea of being a comedian was offending people. It's fun to offend people. When you offend people, you make a lot of people laugh because you're offending people. What I don't like are comedians that get upset about people getting offended. The comedians are like, I can't believe, and they post on Facebook, look at this, somebody... I look at it as a badge of honor when I get an email that's like, I can't believe you said this, blah, blah, blah. And I had a woman come up to me the other night and she goes, she grabbed my hand and shook it. She goes, great show, amazing show. And she goes, drop the, and she named one of my jokes. She goes, drop the bup joke. And I go, excuse me? She goes, and it was a joke about something I don't want to get into here. But she says, my son, blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay. I said, I'm not going to drop it. And I said, but you're taking this personally. She goes, what do you mean? I said, did you laugh at all my other jokes? And she goes, yeah. I go, they're all about other people, but you just made this one personal.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at me and she goes, you're right. She goes, thanks. Thanks for teaching me. She goes, I'm being too sensitive.
Oh, it was a learning moment.
But I felt like that's everybody has to stop this. It's everyone, this whole like triggered and, oh my God, it's about me. It's not about you. I tell people all the time when they get, from the, you know, if a heckler's like, you can't say, I go, I hate to tell you this, but I have not been thinking about you. I'm sorry in this narcissistic culture that you think it's all about you, but it's not. And we all
very
have,
me-oriented.
Yeah, we all have stuff that, I mean, a million things. Some I don't even want to get into it here.
Don't.
Yeah, this is the worst place.
No, that's actually a good answer because
we walk on eggshells too.
Yeah.
Well, but comedians and like I saw this Ricky Gervais thing where he put it perfectly, and I think he's a smart guy and a funny guy,
great.
And he was like, "You don't," and he did this comment on about the oversensitivity of the audience and how you don't have to care.
Yeah,
you don't have to be bothered. But and I was like. Yeah, but that's a comedian who's working for himself and he gets to do whatever. He's not paid by some corpo company that's held with public stock that's going, we can't have that guy out there saying that crap.
Sure, sure. But it's like, let the market dictate. When Louis did the joke about the Parkland shooting, I saw David Axelrod got on Twitter. And I'm not going to quote it perfectly, but what he said was, he's like, yeah, it was a tasteless joke, and I thought it was awful. However, we can't censor him. Like, we can't have these lynch mobs out saying, like, shut him up, quiet him down. He said, let the market dictate. Like, if you don't like it, don't go see
right.
it.
Right.
And that's, I mean, like, if I go to a movie and I don't like it or there's something, I just tell, yeah, it wasn't very good. I didn't like the movie. I'm not going again, you know?
Right.
I don't go on Hooman's movie review and...
And say, what a dumb thing to say about that movie.
Yeah, Hooman.
Hooman. Hey, weekend weather. We've got mixed weather conditions with rain, full-on rain for Sunday. But then, you know, you might see some sky and you might see some more rain today and tomorrow.
But
depending.
You won't see the super blood moon wolf angel.
On Sunday, you're right.
Eclipse. This
it's not happening?
It's happening, but it's going to be behind the clouds.
Cloudy.
Up here.
Yeah. Also, tons of snow has fallen. It continues today in Tahoe. Clear tomorrow. More snow for Sunday into Monday, and then Tuesday, the rest of the week looks clear. Mm. And maybe even sunny up there.
Yeah, Vinny's all about doing like the stealth mission. Like
I would rather do that than go surfing right now. I was up in Tahoe in December, and it was incredible even then. I did shows at the Improv in Tahoe. And we went skiing.
You already got Izzy on skis,
oh, yeah.
too, didn't
she's
you?
Oh, yeah, she's been skiing for 2 years.
Is it true that she's sponsored? Is it?
By skis.com.
So your daughter, Izzy, is how old?
She just turned 4.
Nice. Yeah.
Same age?
No,
my kid just turned five.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
1 year older.
They say 5 is about the age for skiing. I don't know why I used to teach skiing, so I thought this will be easy. It's not easy. No. The chairlifts are terrifying.
Yeah.
she didn't want to do the magic carpet. She was like, "Dad, that thing." And she just pointed at the chairlift and I'm like, "Oh, cuz you have to hold on to them."
Right.
And you're holding on to them like if they slip, I've just lost a kid.
Yeah.
And I've lost a kid.
And you got to go tell your wife.
I was a ski instructor back in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, years ago.
There's a lot of skiing there?
Yeah, there's a little mountain called Seven Springs.
More like a hill, right?
Yeah, it's about 1,000 vertical.
Uh-huh.
And there was this thing one day, like I was a scam artist. I just wanted to ski. And they go, "Hey, we got this thing called kid ski." And all the guys are like, "Do kid ski." Because they just give you a group of kids and it's like babysitting. You just ski with them. You don't have to teach them. You just ski and you get free lunch.
Oh.
And I was like,
"Oh my God, that sounds great."
So they give you like 5 or 6 or 7. I don't know how many kids. They gave me a group of kids and we skied all day just up and down the mountain. And they're like 6, 7 years old.
So some of them have to ride the lift by themselves.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They're old enough. I forget how old, but they're old enough to ride the lift. Maybe 7 years. I don't know. But then their parents come and pick them up at the end of the day. And I had one less kid. My first day. Yeah, my first day.
Somebody showed up to get their kid and you didn't have them?
Yeah, I couldn't find
them. You didn't head count them constantly?
I didn't know where the kid was.
What? Just scan and free lunch. See you at the bottom of the hill, kids. What happened?
I don't know.
That can't be the end of the story. No. Oh, really? You were like, "No, I don't know what happened. But I got to go. I got a date."
My bosses were really good at that mountain of just going, "Eddie, go. Just go away. We'll deal with this. Go away."
You didn't get fired?
No, I got fired for something else.
Oh. Could have been worse than losing someone's child.
I used to show up at roll call where you sign in your name. They have your name typed out and then you sign beside it. And I would show up every weekend and there would be a red line through my name. And I would go, "What's this?" And they're like, "You got to go talk to the boss." And I would go in and the boss would go, "You've taught 4 lessons all year. The average instructor has taught over 100, and you've taught 4. Why?" And it was just, I just wanted the free skiing. So then I became a ski patrol, and they said to me, "There's 2 kinds of people that want to be a ski patrol. One that really wants to be a ski patrol.
Help people.
Yeah. And the other that wants to beat the system. Which one are you?" And I looked him in the eyes, and I said, "I want to see the goriest accidents you have." And the guy goes, "Never met your type before."
Type 3.
Right.
Yeah, I was type 3. And I saw an accident that was...
I don't want to hear...
What happened?
No.
You want to know?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Stick.
No.
Through.
No.
Through.
No.
What?
No.
Through.
No.
Neck.
No.
Nope.
No. Oh, my
worse.
God.
Worse.
Chest.
Worse.
Groin.
But groin and...
You just said no, and now you're guessing.
And
Back butt?
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yep.
For the watch.
Yeah. And I was first on the scene. And I wasn't supposed to be on the slope that I was on. I wasn't patrolling that slope. So I didn't want to call it in because I was going to get fired.
So what'd you do?
I
kept going.
I
just kept skiing.
I for I was going to pretend like I didn't see it, but I couldn't.
Did you have the jacket on? Did they know you were Snow
yeah,
Patrol?
Yeah, I had the.
So you just skied like, by him?
No. The guy was
like, "Help!" And what'd you do?
His buddy was waving, so I went down to it and I got on the walkie-talkie and I was like, "This is Eddie Ift from I think it was on Goosebumps." Like, I'm on Goosebumps right now. You're supposed to. I forget. This is so long ago. It's like 25 years ago. And I think we're supposed to call him a patient and not a victim. And I'm like, I got a guy. I hear my patrol leader go, "Why are you on Goosebumps?" I'm like, "I've got a patient." And he goes, "What's the code?" Because you either call in code blue, brown, red, green, white. One brings an ambulance to the bottom of the hill. One brings a toboggan. Two guys down on a toboggan. One is like, call, come out and meet us.
Airlift.
One is airlift. Mm. And they go, and I'm looking down and I see the blood everywhere. And the guy goes, "Eddie." I go, "This guy's, we're at the bottom of the head wall," and he goes, "What's the code, Eddie? What's the code?" And I'm like, and he goes, "Eddie, what's the code?" And I go, "Bring everything you got."
God, we're laughing at someone who's growing up. It's not even funny.
Gosh. We had to cut the stick and backboard him sideways with it still in.
Yeah, you can't pull that out. Yeah.
Are you the one that cut?
No, they pushed me away.
Yeah.
The only time they ever let me do
Eddie,
anything.
Eddie, go hide.
A guy was hanging from a chairlift once. Like his suspenders or his backpack got caught, which happens a lot. Be careful with backpacks because they get caught in chairlifts and then you try to get off and they're stuck. So then it went around and he's hanging and I'm in one of the huts. I run over and everybody's like converging on this. And the guy's hanging that I would say his feet were about 7-8 feet off the ground or whatever. And they said to me, or maybe it was about 10 feet, they had me stand on the snowmobile and hold his feet. And I'm like, and they're going, "Hold his feet." I'm like, "Wait a minute. If he comes down, like, this is," and they're trying to, throw a rope up and belay him up to then unhook him. And
they couldn't run the lift backwards, huh?
No.
So what happened?
So they ended up getting a guy up and pulling a guy up and unhooking him. But
how long were you holding his feet?
I was never really holding, but if
you were just standing underneath.
Yeah, basically, I was gonna.
Like, I can't even reach.
Yeah.
Oh. Genius. Well, there's your snow report, everyone.
That's our
friend Eddie Ift at Rooster really Tea me. Feathers.
Yeah.
Makes two shows really tonight, two shows tomorrow, and a show on Sunday.
Bring everything you got.
Oh, my God. Thanks, Eddie.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice at 97.3.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.